You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule. Hello and welcome to WoW Talk, the Mash Those Buttons podcast all about World of Warcraft. My name is Nick Zelenkevich and I'm here with Ray Liu.
Hey.
And Eric Knutson.
Hey guys.
And today is April 29th, 2018. This is WoW Talk, episode number 106. And there was the beta started, there was a dev Q&A and some other stuff's going on. We'll get into all that. But first, what have you guys been up to in game? How is the Order of Corrupted Souls doing?
I was waiting on Ray to feel that one.
Oh, sorry. It's been my parents came over this week, so it was kind of like a blur on things. I know this past week we just went ahead and did normal. We had one of our guildies. He got his brother to start playing again, so we took his ass around. He got bloated up a lot.
Nice.
Did some heroics, and did we bring someone else too?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Nick.
Yeah, I believe we had like a few different topics to talk about there. Yeah. Like, what was the first one? Like, don't press the button when Ray says don't press the button.
Yeah. Yeah. Good time. So we're doing that for this past week, which is good. It's fun just because some Daryl DK. But yeah, we've been just kind of going through that. And I guess we're slowly getting people, you know, at the end of every expansion, like it always happens, like kind of people just start coming back in, crawling back in, something back in. So it's nice. We'll have some extra people. And I think maybe Matt Seven's fiance, maybe we'll start playing in a little bit as well. So it'll be fun. And then we did some of the pluses as well. It was just a shorter week just because my parents were here, so I didn't get to actually like play. So my time off was not play time.
So, yeah, it was fun getting to raid with you guys for a little bit. And I want to thank you because I got to actually see the end of Antorus fight. I came in for Kingaroth, and then I think I missed Coven. And then I got
missed
to do
Coven.
Yeah.
That in giant air quotes.
And then I got to do Aggramar and Argus. So I feel like I got to see most of the important fights. And I got to see Coven at least, even if we didn't beat them.
Yeah.
So one of these days I need to sit down and run all of the raids just on like LFR just to get through them all and know how they all fit together. Because what I've seen has been so sporadic. Like I know the Ursoc fight in Emerald Nightmare very well because I had to run that like multiple times for artifact appearances several months ago. But there's stuff that I haven't seen at all, like the latter half. I think I've only seen Krosis in the Nighthold because I needed him for like a quest or something.
Good old Krosis.
Yeah. So at some point we'll have to do our episode where we look back at like Legion. I know some people are already doing that. It still feels too early to me. And I know technically Legion's over, but like there's still another 4 months of this, three, 4 months of this now. So we'll get to that in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we still have enough time to pull our fifth and sixth alts through Argus.
So. Do that. Well, it's like that, and then it was nice to actually go back and do, you know, did we do heroic? Oh no, we didn't do the heroic last fight. We just did the normal because Meanie needed that +5.
We got through
trinket.
Some heroic.
Yeah, so some heroic.
Did,
yeah, I would like to go through it again because that was like a big conversation between us just because we were having issues with certain people wanting to skip stuff or whatever. And I'm like, no, I want to do this and other people want to do it. So we'll get to do it again and find other people that come back and see if they'll stick around and play from now till into the new expansion.
Yeah, it was good times. And it's one of those things where I wish I had more time to raid with you guys more consistently because it was fun, even though I didn't really know what I was doing. So Well, and it's especially bad too because I was playing on my Death Knight and I'm so used to raiding as a hunter and I just want to like, no, let me just go hang out with the ranged and I'll just shoot. And it's like, no, I need to be up on his butt. And it's a different mindset that I really don't have. So I need to get, like, I feel like once I get my hunter up to 110 and he's getting there slowly because he's leveling up primarily just through the XP quests that you get on your order hall mission board. So like every day he gets a little bit of XP, so he'll get there.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So we also had, I forgot, we have a warlock that transferred over, Rob, so he's playing with us. And then...
Well, that'll be good for summons. Does that mean somebody won't have to get off their priest to get on their warlock to summon right. somebody? Well, and then
it's because Yao's been slacking and he hasn't been around. We do have a resident warlock. It's just that his laptop's ancient and then he like gets whisked away by his family to do things. And so we don't see him anymore. And then there's the return of Zin.
So yes.
Got another hunter. He is back.
It was good to hear him back in the guild chat.
Yeah.
Yes.
So more hunters. I know Harv is excited. All these hunters, right?
Yes. Right. So, and did you guys get a chance to do anything in the beta?
I did a little. I made a Death Knight and a Paladin. I didn't do the Death Knight. I just made him, and then that was it. And then I decided, I'm going to make a Paladin too because I want to see the prop changes. And so I made the Paladin, and then I started some of that intro. It seemed kind of cool. I laughed my ass off though because I was not expecting. As you're playing through it, you know, it's just kind of like that cinematic that we saw, you know, when they're announcing it. You're playing through it, and then it goes to a cutscene. But I guess they don't have all the cutscenes done yet. And out of nowhere, there's Thrall shooting his big laser beam thing at Deathwing as he flies back and takes Deathwing out.
That's the temporary cutscene. Nice.
Yeah, and I come back. I'm just like, bam, bam, bam. I'm like, Deathwing? Because it put me into a group with like five of us. It's just random. It was like a scenario they put you together. I was like, Deathwing? And the person's like, it's placeholder. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's like, what?
That would be awesome if, yeah, like the whole invasion of Lordaeron is just thrown off because Deathwing shows back
up. Yeah, and Thrall just shoots him down. Like, whoa, this is the greatest battle ever.
That's cool. No, but I did finally get into the beta, so I'll have to join you guys. I thought it was funny. They named the two servers for the beta Anduin and Sylvanas. Mm-hmm. And so me being a Horde player, I went on Sylvanas and I rolled a bunch of Horde characters. And I know you, and then I asked you guys, like, what server are you guys on? And of course, you guys being Alliance, you went on Anduin and rolled a bunch of Alliance characters. And I just find that, like, I get why they named them that for this expansion, mm-hmm. but it just seems like the people are going to sort themselves by faction going onto these servers. Like, I have to imagine, and this isn't good for PvP, you know, for testing PvP, I have to imagine that the faction balance is just completely skewed on both those servers.
Yeah, probably.
Unless they're connected realms.
But yeah, I mean, maybe that's what they're testing there. Is they're like, how would it work if all the Alliance was on one server and all the Horde was on another server and without formally restricting that?
Yeah, because when I made my characters, you know, you have that choice of Anduin or Sylvanas. And it wasn't like, I was like, oh, I'm not going to choose Sylvanas. Oh, Horde, I'm going to go with Anduin because it's familiar to me. No, it was like, I saw him was like, oh, well, obviously I'm supposed to choose this one. I see it and I just plain as day. Alliance server, Horde server. Well, okay, I'll choose the top one. You know, they took the choice out of it, basically, just by showing it that way.
I feel like the only thing they could have done differently would have been like Hordes, like maybe like a Bane server for like people who like the Horde but don't like Sylvanas. But yeah, no, it's one of those things. It's like, of course you guys are on Anduin. Of course I'm on Sylvanas. It all makes sense. But so I got into the beta and the first thing that I did was I was like, ooh, Allied Races. And I just started like playing in the character creation screen. And I was like, this is so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like just playing with these Allied Races that I finally was like, you know what? Let me go and buy the expansion since I can pre-order it now. And then when I get the physical collector's edition, I can get my Battle.net credit back. And I spent a few days when I wasn't raiding with you guys doing the scenarios, I unlocked all four allied races, and I could not decide. This is so bizarre for me. I could not decide between doing a High Mountain Tauren, between doing a Void Elf, and between doing a Nightborn. The only thing I could decide was like, well, let me do a Lightforged Paladin. So I have a Lightforged Paladin sitting. I haven't logged into him yet, but he's just sitting there waiting for me to log in, which is like, that was the one faction that I still like really don't care about them, but I was like, oh no, they'll just make a paladin there. Like that was the one. It's like, because I cared so little, it was easy for me to roll that.
It's an easy choice.
Yeah. So
maybe it's because you knew you weren't going to spend a whole lot of time on it.
Right. Well, the other thing too, is I do have a paladin already at level 20 in the guild. So I think I might just delete him, because I rolled a paladin back for Hearthstone when they were like, if you level a paladin to level 20, you get the Liadrin skin. So I'll probably just delete him, and then like this, then because since the allied races start at level 20, it's kind of like it's the same character, just kind of continued in a way.
Oh, sure. I get you.
So you'll see. Yeah. It's something. Yeah. After I get my Death Knight, or after I get my Demon Hunter going, you'll see me on my Paladin after I get my Hunter to 110. So
yeah, don't skip the Hunter. Harville.
Yeah.
Give you the side eye.
Yeah. Well, how many Hunters do you guys have now?
Was it three?
Well, it's two for sure.
Yeah, well, it's Tarkus, and then...
Oh, yeah, three then.
Yeah, so Tarkus, Harv... Wait, who am I missing?
Zin.
Well, besides Zin.
Oh.
Didn't we have three the other day?
Yeah, because Shackles was on his Hunter.
Oh, that's right, on his Shackle, or on his Hunter that he never plays. Because he keeps getting Hunter Legendaries for a character he doesn't play, and he finally got on it, because he's like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Harv has nine Hunters.
So do you guys feel like, as you know, some of the classes go up and down as far as which, you know, spec is OP and which spec is, you know, badly lagging, like when Hunters, and I feel like specifically Beastmaster Hunters are, you know, struggling in the damage meters. Do you guys feel like that affects your performance because that's such a large portion of your raiding team?
Nah. Maybe going forward when we have three or four Hunters going, if they're all struggling. No, they'll just play a different spec.
Okay, so you find that the overall roster makeup, it shifts well enough with what specs are doing well that you never feel like your team is underperforming just based off composition.
Yeah, there's a handful of our team that if there's one spec that they're used to playing or usually play, that like after some patch goes through and there's some nerfs and then that one sucks and the other one got better, like they'll switch. And it's not like where you're like, hey, you need to switch because you need to do more damage. It's that they'll switch because they can do more damage that way. Like, I'm gonna go with the stronger one. I wanna beat Shackles. That's what's gonna be.
So you don't have to tell them. They kind of naturally want to do better. They right. On their own, they know to make the switch. You don't have to like pull them aside and whap them in the head.
We're always like playfully competitive with each other, and that keeps it fun.
I think our whole team, like out of all like 12 to 15 of us, maybe like three or four consistently have always been the same character. Because like Eric's always been on his DK. I've always been on my priest, and then everybody else changes. I know Monster. He's still fairly newish, but he's always been on his mage, and then his brother Scott only has, he says, what are alts? He only has a DK, so, you know, we have, and Harv is always his hunter, so, but yeah, everybody else will, sometimes they'll change, they'll be like, oh, I don't like this character anymore until they do the MDI, and then decide that maybe they should try their mage again, or whatever.
So have you guys been keeping up with the MDI at all?
Didn't get to this weekend, just because, again, my parents were here for that portion, so we didn't do that. But yeah, we watched the week before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we watched the week before too. So we watched China? It was China, yeah. And then the next one after that was like Pacific something. Was it them? I can't remember. It was the second group though. We watched that one, but we didn't see the one last week.
Did you see? I heard that they had improved the healing like overlays. So I guess you could see what the healers were doing a little bit better. Did you guys see any of that?
Oh, no. I didn't hear or see that.
Yeah, and I heard you were also supposed to be able, like, there was some way you could inspect what the people were wearing, too.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Cool. So did you learn anything new this week from that, or was it just more of the just more general impressive feats?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah, because this last one that they did, what would have been just as we're recording, what, 2 days ago or a day ago? Yeah, we didn't see that one at all.
Cool. So I'm trying to think anything else been going on. I was surprised in doing the Allied races that I felt like the High Mountain Torn had like the longest one. The other ones were all pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I was a little surprised by that since I did the High Mountain Torn first and the other ones kind of blew through. But yeah, other than that, I really haven't been playing too much. So I look forward to getting the time to log in and play all that. So, cool. And did you guys anything else for you guys, or ready to move into our feedback?
Only that I had an extra week of using the auction house before it fizzled out.
Yeah.
After, how did you get an extra week?
It just kept letting me do it. Like every day I was like, okay. And I just kept posting. I was like, fuck this. I'll keep doing it until it's gone.
Did it finally die?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was last.
It was like Wednesday or something.
Yeah, a couple days
ago. You are like bad luck for online apps between this and AIM.
That was a chat program. It wasn't an app back in the day. Thank you very much.
It was an app before it would have been called an app. It was like a proto app.
Right.
Yeah. So what else do you use? Because I'll know to start closing up my accounts.
I'll just screenshot everything. I have like a billion things. I'll kill them all. It's fine.
So
nice.
All right. Well, that said, we did get an email from YepX mentioning he had another forum post to check out, and this looked like an interesting topic. So let's go into this here real quickly. And he said, "Hello all. I've been periodically thinking about how Blizzard could update hub zones as seen in other Blizzard games and some books such as the Traveler book where it makes sense. For example, Hearthstone's The Mean Streets of Gadgetzan expansion seems like a totally plausible example of something that could be added to the game. Here are my thoughts on this. By completely overhauling that hub, making it a bigger, changing its layout completely could be fun, with a mafia theme or something close to it. In addition, I have an idea to cement such changes in the form of an event holiday could work. Possible name? Bruiser for Hire. Please note, I'm not good at naming things, so the suggested names are not what I want them to be, but rather I'm just spitballing. This event would allow players to post bounty hits on other players on any faction, but is realm specific. The person placing a bounty ties a gold reward, which is automatically sent to the person who completes the hit, which would encourage PvP and be another gold sink as well. There could be up to 100 bounties at any given time and would be searchable in an auction house-like interface. Moreover, I would like to see this interface filter by the target's PvP status skill. For example, say your target is an avid PvPer and has multiple achievements, a high rank, etc. The interface would not let you put a bounty on such a target below a set price. When a player places a bounty by typing the person's name, the interface would load up their profile in the background and determine if this bounty needs a minimum set price or if it doesn't. If the target has a set price, you can offer that as a reward or offer more. Each bounty disappears upon completion and is replaced with the next one in queue. When a player gets a bounty placed on them, they will get an alert on screen along with a debuff that permanently flags you for PvP and makes you attackable by players of the same faction. This debuff will go away after being killed by another player or after one day. Players cannot place a bounty on someone more than once per day. In addition, someone cannot collect a bounty by just getting lucky and randomly killing people on a PvP server. They have to go and accept the quest, which itself will expire in a day. However, how long this event could last, I cannot see, but I feel such an event may be fun. I would like your constructive feedback as well. I'd like to hear other ideas." Okay, so first, on the topic of bringing in the like the Hearthstone stuff, I know the updated Argent tournament being the grand tournament, one of the earlier Hearthstone expansions, the Mean Streets of Gadgetzan expansion, where Gadgetzan, I don't know, I think we've talked about this before, but if you've seen that map that they showed at BlizzCon when they announced that, where it's like Gadgetzan is this tiny little town, and now it's like half of Tanaris.
Mm-hmm.
So on stuff like that, I guess like the Witchwood, the current expansion, which there were changes made to the forest around Gilneas. It's currently called the Blackwalled in-game, but because of Hagatha and what she's been doing there, now it's the Witchwood. So stuff like that. Like, what do you guys think about seeing that kind of stuff in-game, updated, possibly done through micro holidays, or even just really done in general, just as the game progresses, to see those kind of changes?
That'd be cool. If they made Gadgetzan into like a hub city, I mean, Tanaris is kind of a boring place anyway, so if they took up the whole thing with a cool city, I'd be all about that. That would be cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing else for me to say about that. That would be sweet. I'd love to have a new hub city like that.
And Ray, any thoughts?
I don't know. I'm looking at mean streets of Gadgets, and I'm just picturing some like floozies on the side and alleyways and other things going on. I don't think I'm seeing the same thing as everybody else.
that's definitely part of it. That's definitely part of it, because it had a very like 1930s feel where, you did have like floozies on the side. You had like your mafia and your old school gangsters with like Tommy guns and fedoras. And I mean, in a way, it stylistically is not the same as the rest of World of Warcraft. You know, it's kind of in their very medieval style. But then again, we've seen like Gilneas is even like, that's like 1800s, like Victorian type architecture. Whereas, you know, like the rest of Warcraft is, you know, kind of earlier than that. But I guess when you have like magic and their limited version of science sort of mixed together, like everything doesn't progress in the way we would expect, which is fine. I mean, we're used to the universe as it is. But, you know, no, this is something that I've been arguing for ever since Gadget Zan, because that map, and especially that, they debuted Gadget Zan right around the time that Suramar was live. And so everybody was like, oh my God, like, look at what they can do with Suramar. Look what they can do with a city, and take that and apply that to Gadget Zan. And like, how can they not put that in game? And it's disappointing. I think the last time that we really did anything in Gadget Zan was the Legion invasions before this expansion.
Yep.
And it's disappointing to go back there and like, yeah, there's Mayor Noggenfogger, and you got that one Thunderdome in the middle, and then it's just like, you know, like nothing around it basically. And yeah, they could really find a reason to update that. I don't care what that reason is. Like, make, if you have to do an entire expansion about that, do that. But I would love to see them just do like an expansion just called like the Hearthstone expansion, where the entire expansion is they just update the handful of zones that they've, you know, where they've updated the lore in the Hearthstone game, and then apply that to the zones. Like I said, the Grand Tournament, they fixed that up a little bit. You know, the Witchwood, Gadget Zan. I'm trying to think what other stuff they've done there. But even then, there were some cards in Gadget Zan that were interesting, like Shaku, which was like basically a Shah person. Like, you know, because like if you remember the Shah from Mists of Pandaria, they were like those little blobby things. And this was actually like a person. Like, it took like a full on humanoid form. It had legs. It didn't like, I don't know how they even really move. Like, it just kind of like not floated, but like this actually walked. It was like a ninja. So, I mean, there's some really cool stuff they could do with that. So I'm totally on board with that part of it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, Tenaris, I guess, is kind of. I'm checking out the chat right now because they're talking about it. But, yeah, I mean, I guess technically you just go to Old Dalaran and click the thingy and fly up or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to go. I just remember Scrabble running out and just taking the dragon and then just pulling it all the way into town. I'm like, you're such a jackass.
Well, we have Tenaris, which is basically a big desert, and it makes sense to have a desert zone. But then since Tenaris was put into the game, we also have Aldum right next to it, which is more desert. So like, I could kind of understand maybe the argument previously, like, oh, well, we need like a desert zone because like, it, you know, like we have like zones of every type. But between that and Aldum, I feel like there's enough desert. They have room to play with there. They can update that. And if you do something with Zadormi where you can go back and see how it used to be and kind of go back and forth between the small Gadget Zan and the big Gadget Zan, I think that might be cool. And I don't think you'd lose too much, but no, I'm definitely on board with that. I definitely like that idea. And then getting to the second part, talking about the PvP bounties. Did you guys have any thoughts about that?
That would be trolltastic. I think it's kind of a cool idea. It maybe just needs to be polished a little, but I like, cause I immediately go to like, oh, we could put bounties on Meanie like every day.
Oh God. Jesus, never play again.
Go after each other. And it end up being revenge. We'd just put bounties on each other all day, I think. Until maybe it would run its course, so that we'd get bored with it after a while. But, I mean, if it wasn't like a raid night where we were already on, if it was a day that we weren't raiding, it was just, you know, a day we wanted to do Mythic Pluses or something, and you like log in and you say, oh man, there's a bounty on my head and now I'm stuck flagged for PvP, I guess, would it matter for someone like us? Because we're going to be spending the entire time in dungeons and then logging out, right?
Yeah, I think for you guys, you wouldn't be affected because like they can't find you in a dungeon.
Right.
I mean, and that, I think that'd be one way to, I guess, but I guess it'd have to be something where technically you could exploit the system by, oh, I got a bounty, let me just go hide in a dungeon and just keep chain running dungeons,
right,
and maybe stay in my garrison. Like there's enough instance places where you can avoid that. And so I think what you'd have to do is anytime you went to like Dalaran, which is a sanctuary, anytime you went to a dungeon, they'd have to like pause the timer. So, because at some point you got to leave, at some point you got to walk out into that world, and at some point, you know, you got to expose yourself. And so if you're going to be a good target, like, you know, you have to, you know, you can't just run out the clock. You need to actually be exposed. And so, I mean, it could very easily be the kind of thing where you're like, okay, I know that I got a bounty on me and I know I got to spend like an hour or whatever out in the world to burn this timer off. I'll just log in from like 2 to 3 in the morning every night when nobody's on.
You're going to go to like Feralos.
Right, yeah.
Hide somewhere.
And Ashara.
Yeah, right. Build a campfire and out in the woods. Yeah. Maybe you'd be killable. You could still be killable in sanctuaries like in Dalaran. Or maybe make it so you don't know that you are until you go in and then all of a sudden, dun, dun, dun. And then you're immediately flagged for PvP for all people.
See,
when someone just comes and shanks you and you're just dead laying on the bleeding out on the fucking cobblestone.
Oh, but remember, you'd have to accept the contract. So you'd have to be there when somebody else who had already accepted the contract to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think with a contract, isn't that something wouldn't it be like Hitman, like Agent 47 knows what he's doing, but the other people around him don't know what they're doing, so it just comes up and happens, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that, yeah, so I mean, I think that's what that would be like, but I don't know. I mean, I think Nick was going to ask me what I thought, right?
Yes, I was. You're already telling, you know, go.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think for PvP things, I feel like this is maybe more targeted towards like people who like PvPing and maybe they are working on like, you know, their arena ranks like they used to have, or do they still have that maybe, right? When you're doing arenas, you're doing like 2s and 3s and 5s or whatever, like, you know, maybe there's someone that you've played against, you know, that's like 2200 ranking or higher or something, and like they're really pissing you off and you really want like something outing for them, maybe you have to have like a maybe more so of a specific ranking so you can go ahead and do that, I suppose, you know, because I feel like it's more targeted for them rather than like, you know, I tell someone no, you can't come to my raid, and now there's like $1 million or gold on my head because I said no. Like, that's really not, you know what I mean? I'm like, why would you do that? Like, I'm just playing the game. I didn't need you to come. Don't be pissed at me. You know, like, go take it out on someone else that wants to do the thing, I guess, you know? Like, I would personally not want to, like, go up and be like, you looked at me weird. I'm going to shank you. And then walk away. You know?
Well, yeah, I think as far as the system for determining who you're placing the bounties on, there's a little bit of work that needs to be done there. Just to be arbitrarily able to place a bounty on anybody is a bit open to griefing. That said, my Twitter handle is @WookieBH. And do you guys know what the BH stands for? I might have told you guys. I don't think I've ever said this on the air. I might have told you guys, though.
Is it Bounty Hunter? Because
it is Bounty Hunter. Yeah. It is Bounty Hunter because I used to play Star Wars Galaxies. I used to play Star Wars Galaxies where I was a Wookiee Bounty Hunter. So this whole thing, even the Bruiser for Hire, BH, right there. This whole thing, it speaks to me in ways that I exactly. That I this is one of those things that I could never actually imagine them implementing in WoW, so I would never think to ask for it, but I am actually like so glad that you asked for it because it's something I would love to see in WoW, even though I suck at PvP and would never really be able to play this on any competent level. Star Wars Galaxies had, you talk about like an auction house interface, they had terminals that you would go to, and on the terminals there were different level quests you could take, and the early, like the low level quests were your NPC marks. So it's like, oh, hey, there's an NPC somewhere and you got to go find him and kill him. And the early ones, they were like in the same city. They didn't really move too much. They were easy to find. Later ones, they would actually move around a little bit more. And so you'd have to buy tracking droids and you send the tracking droids out and then they come back and tell you, oh, so-and-so was spotted here at such and such a time. You go there, you throw out some more tracking droids and eventually you would catch up to the person to get to kill them. At the elite levels, it was players and it wasn't just any players. The way Star Wars Galaxies handled it was this was their solution to the overpopulation of Jedi. That when you had somebody who actually made it to Jedi status, the bounty hunter, they would then show up on the bounty hunter terminals because there weren't supposed to be any Jedi at the time because they were all killed. So the bounty hunters would then track down the Jedi. So the Jedi had to be very careful when they used their force powers and how, like, who was around when they did. Because if they were too public about it, they would wind up on the terminals. The bounty hunters would come and try to kill them. And there was one time I was like, I'm going to go try to kill this Jedi. So I found the Jedi. He was just grinding some mobs out in the middle of the desert in Tatooine. And I came up and as long as I didn't attack him, I wasn't showing as hostile towards him. So I was like, hey, like, you're just grinding here. I'm just grinding here too. We're all cool, right? Yeah. So I was like, well, let's go kill some stuff. So we went, we started killing some stuff. And I was like, oh, he's like a half health. No, I'm going to kill him. And I went to kill him. And I think I got like one or two shots in on him. And then he like just AOE'd me and the mob and killed everybody. And I was, he's like, what happened? I don't know how I killed you. And I'm like, I don't know, man. That was just weird. I was like, I'm just going to go away now and never come back again. So yeah, I would love, love, love to see a system like this put in. And it would make a lot of sense to put it in. Well, one, it makes sense. Put it in like a micro holiday so it's not something that's available too much. Or maybe do it as one of your little like special PvP things that comes up like every 7 weeks or so. And then also tying it to Gadget Zan makes a lot of sense because in an environment like Gadget Zan would definitely have, like you said, bruisers for hire. You know, it would have bounty hunters. I can't express how much I would love to see this in the game. So, it would completely change the way I play. Well, for the most part, but as I said, I think the only concern is that you have to make sure that the people who will get on, you can't just randomly let people get on there. Like, people have to know, like, at least in Star Wars Galaxies, like, people knew as a Jedi they were at risk for winding up on the terminals, and you'd have to let people know, you know, that they are, you know, doing something that can cause them to wind up as a potential target. As much fun as it would be to just completely putting bounties on Meanie, as much fun, you know, like Ray said, you don't want to wind up in a situation where you deny somebody a spot in a raid for a legitimate reason, and then they turn around and they're like, oh, bounties for everybody. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, I mean, you know, maybe it depends on, you know, price, but it's one of those things too. If you make the price too big, but even then, like, as far as making the price too big, what is too big a price when people can just buy gold through the WoW token? I mean, if I'm really pissed off that I didn't get to play in your raid, I'll throw $20 and be like, hey, you know, here's 200,000 gold to the next person who, you know, brings me Ray's head. Like,
what?
I'm going to find your address and put you in your fucking face after that.
Right.
What if you could pay an extra amount, like just a massive amount of gold to have a faction leader come kill you personally?
A faction leader? Oh, God.
How much do I have to pay just to get Sorfang to kill everybody?
I don't know. That's up to Blizzard.
Right?
Yeah. So that is a great idea. I'm on board with both these things. Gadget Zan needs to be in the game. The Hearthstone stuff needs to be in the game. But I don't believe that Blizzard will ever do this because of how complex it is. And it was, I mean, Star Wars Galaxies was designed with this in mind, and it was still a complex system. But this, I can't imagine Blizzard would ever devote the resources to put this in, but I would love it if they did. So if anybody else has any ideas for PvP or holidays related like that, send them in, because that's interesting. That is interesting as all get out. So thank you for sending that. Forum post YepX. If anybody else has any email or feedback they want to send, we are wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com or at wowtalkmtb on Twitter. That said, let's move into our topics for the week. We did mention that beta is live. They also put up a post saying that because beta is live, that most of the classes are now locked on the, or at least the changes that they're going to be making to the classes, they're pretty much set in. I think now it's just a matter of tuning. So I know, I think we talked a little bit last time about how the Death Knights were feeling on beta. Have you guys had a chance to play any other classes or not really?
Not really yet.
So yeah, I rolled a hunter, but I haven't done too much with him yet on there. So we'll have to see. You know, the one thing about beta that bothers me is that when you get in on there and you make a new character, you don't have access to your transmog library. You only have that one starter outfit. And it was kind of funny, like logging into Orgrimmar and seeing all the other characters and everybody looked the same because they're wearing that same Legion level light forged armor. But yeah, so that, even then before I was like, well, I want to go and do, you know, even before I was like, I'm going to go do the Battle for Lordaeron, I was like, no, I want to go, like, what do I have to kill to get some different gear around here? Like, where can I at least buy something that isn't so stiff? Because I just don't like that set anyway. But but yeah, so I mean, the classes, they said that they're pretty much locked except for a handful of classes, which I guess makes sense for where they are, given not so much the betas around, but we only have 4 months till this goes live. Not even, I mean, it's going to be May by the time this goes up. So yeah, we're at like 3.5 months now. This is coming so fast.
Yeah,
it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be here before we know it.
Then you're not going to know what to do with yourself.
I'm not. Right. I'm actually thinking I might just stick around and keep doing Legion content. Like, I'll get to the new stuff later. It'll be there when I'm ready for it. Let me just keep working on that. The only thing I need to do is I need to find time to do the Mage Tower. But I think everything else I should be able to do after Battle for Azeroth launches. So, yeah, I may just never leave the Legion content. It'll be like 4 expansions from now. I'll still be like, and I just rolled a mage. Yes.
like seeing me in my garrison, I'm like, I can still make money off of this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They just up the difficulty level, but it's still, there's still a way to do that. You can keep selling those coal fist grondlings, even if they sell for copper.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so the beta is live. That was big. The other thing that came along with the beta going live is that there was a dev Q&A that Ian and Josh did. Not too much came out of that. I know they talked more about the global cooldowns and stuff, which they kind of just reiterated what they had said in the prior blog post. But I guess the one big thing that upset everybody is that they asked Ian about High Elves being part of the Alliance as an allied race. And Ian said, one, he said, like, there's not like a great number of High Elves in the lore, so there's no point to doing that. And then two, he said, if you want your pretty elf race, your pale pretty elf race, because I mean, you can play a pretty emo elf on the Alliance now with the Void Elves. But if you want your pretty, like, pale elf, then you need to roll Horde. Like, that's the way you do it. And one, I felt like he completely ignored the fact that the Windrunners are technically High Elves. I guess Varisa is they're not Varisa. Why can't I think of her name? Illyria is technically a Void Elf, or at least she's allied with the Void Elves. But Varisa is a High Elf, like her and the Silver Covenant. They are the High Elves. So it's like to kind of say like the lore doesn't really support it. It's kind of weak, because even then, like how many Void Elves are there? It, given that the Void Elves are a splinter sect from the Blood Elves, who were the remnants of the High Elves who survived the sacking of Quel'Thalas and Silvermoon when the Lich King, you know, blew up the Sunwell. Like how many to say that there's more Void Elves than there are High Elves? At this point, especially after Varisa has been so established in the story, it felt like he was just like waving off the question. And I don't see, well, I don't think that High Elves are going to make it into Battle for Azeroth. I feel like either this, ends with there being a Void Elf skin that allows them to look like High Elves, or like at some point Blizzard's going to have to relent and put High Elves as an allied race, because it just, it's, I feel like there's too, I don't know why there's such demand for it. I don't know why High Elves are so popular. You guys play the Alliance. Are you clamoring for High Elves?
Meh.
You both shrugged in sync. That was very well done. So, I mean, I just feel like there's a very vocal minority pushing for this, but at the same time, because they're so vocal, and it doesn't seem like it's that difficult for Blizzard to put in, like, just give them High Elves already. Like, it's a core part of, like, the medieval fantasy. Put them on the Alliance. Everything will be fine. There has been, like, an argument on Reddit between, like, the fact that it's, like, if you can either be, like, a pretty elf, but you're then basically evil because, like, the Horde has really been portrayed as doing some negative stuff in the early Battle for Azeroth stuff, or you can be, like, a good guy, but you're not that pretty. So take your pick. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting was we had another Reddit post that I want to talk a little bit about. And this one, they said, as of last reset, so like a week ago, 725 guilds have killed Mythic Argus in 140 days. Of Mythic Antorus's launch. For context, you had 154 days to kill Mythic Kil'jaeden. Only 872 guilds managed to kill that boss. And so his argument is that more people kill Mythic Kil'jaeden at this point than Mythic Argus, which, one, 154 compared to 140 is 2 weeks. And so you're looking at closer to about 800 guilds if you assume a steady rate. But if you give them another 2 weeks, and I don't have the updated stats at this point, but I'd say you're looking at about 800 guilds as opposed to 872 by the 154th day. That said, though, I feel like there's a difference, because we knew that Mythic Kil'jaeden was going away, so everybody who, like, puts off killing him till the last minute rushed to do that by this point. Like, you're looking at the whole list, and I'm assuming if you look at, like, how many kills there are, there's probably a handful at the beginning, you know, as far as people do it, and it probably, like, kind of ramps up a little bit as you go. And I'd expect, like, right before it goes away, there's probably a spike in how many people are rushing to get it done before it goes away and it's no longer available. And I think that with Mythic Argus, we haven't seen that yet, and we're not going to, because he's still going to be around for another 3 months. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as far as you guys go, have you noticed anything? Do you feel like people are rushing to kill the bosses? Have you felt the same sense of urgency with your raid teams that you did in prior expansions, or is it because this raid tier is a little bit longer, it's a little easier to let things go?
With this raid tier, it definitely didn't feel as rushed. And I mean, like, I think the progression we made on it was comparable, like, with the other raids. Like, it wasn't like we progressed through this one faster or slower, but definitely didn't feel like the same amount of pressure, knowing that we had several months, you know, before the expansion comes out, rather than losing the ability to get the ahead of the curve achievement when the next raid tier comes out, like we did with the previous ones. So yeah, I definitely can see where there's going to be some guilds that are not pushing as hard or whatever. I also think, like, though, like, one of the things me and Ray were talking about when we were talking about this was that it's getting toward the end of the expansion, and some people burn out, you know, quick. Like, they start. And especially with, I would say, especially with Mythic teams, because you have to be, there's a huge commitment to be part of that. And so you start a new expansion, everything's new, you're all excited, you're playing. And then you've been doing it for a year, and you've been raiding, 5 days a week, so maybe, on some of the Mythic teams. And you're going to get burned out. So even if there's a whole nother raid to do to finish, you don't care anymore, because you've already done 4 raids in this expansion. You know what I mean? So I think there's probably a lot of that, too, where you lose raiders, and then now you only have 15 people, and you have to find some pugs to make a 20. So you just kind of put it off.
Do you guys think there's anything to say? Like, is it like, I know you mentioned, like, people have burned out on the expansion and stuff like that. Do you feel like the sub numbers are lower? Is maybe that one of the causes why it might seem like people aren't raiding, maybe because they're not here and they'll come back before that final push when they know, like, oh, hey, the new patch is coming in like a week. Let me get in. Let me get all ready. Like, is that part of it?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Were they saying sub numbers again or no? Were they telling
you? No, we don't know.
We still don't know.
I think that's kind of an assumption on my part as far as where they might be going with this question. To kind of argue that there's not as much interest in the game as there was even a patch ago or a raid tier ago. But I mean, you, as far as like guild attendance or roster attendance, Ray, have you noticed anything with the guild? Do you feel like people are kind of checking out a little bit more at this point? Or did a lot of people check out after you guys beat Heroic Antorus for the first time?
No. Mm-mm. No, we still have the same. The only person that really hasn't been around, I think, is just Yao. He's been on and off, and he had a wedding to go to, and then ever since coming back from that, he hasn't really been on. But other than that, Matt number one left. Wow, in general. And then, like, Isaac had left way before that, so it wasn't that either. But we generally retain the same people. If it's anything, it's usually we might lose one or two in the midst, but no specific timing of when. And then towards the end is when we start getting, like, all those extra, like, people who just slowly start filtering in because all of a sudden they're like, ooh, I need gear. Oh, I need that achievement. It's like, where have you been this whole entire time? But some of the people that we have, like, this time around are new people. You know, like I said, so, like, Rob is, like, Matt Seven's friend, you know, or, like, you know, Matt Seven's, like, fiance is going to try to play and try to make some time if she has time. And, you know, so little things like that. And, you know, Zin returning back because real life happens, you know. So we have, like, just people returning, coming back and forth. And we have ins and outs. But, you know, as long as you keep in touch, we're happy to have you back, you know. If you don't, you know, things.
You know, for all the mats that you have, you should just drop the mat and just call them by the number. So Matt Seven would just be Seven.
Yeah. What if we have? Well, we already had said told Scott because his character is Tim Burton, but Zin's real name is Tim. I'm like, gonna have to watch out for that now.
Mm-hmm. So we've been calling him Tim.
Yeah, well, you guys have been. So, but
well, that's what you do is you call somebody like you call their character by their like the first syllable of their name kind of thing.
Uh huh.
Like I like. And that's why I wish I'd thought of this sooner because I have like a few of my alts start with like G-A-R-R, so they're all Gar. But then like I was like, oh no, I'll just name all my alts like Cloud because you guys were calling me Cloud since my 100 was Cloud Howler. So, which now I feel like pigeonholed every time. Like I named that Paladin, I named him Cloud Smasher because he's got the big mace. So I'm like, now I feel like, well, what goes with Cloud? Like, I wish I'd thought of this before.
Oh, that happens. I mean, like, you know, people, like, I usually, like, Rob, for example, like, you know, I was kind of like, do you have, like, an online persona name that people call you by? Or, like, do people just use your name or whatever, you know? And then he's like, well, people online also call me this and whatnot. But if it's something else, like, I don't even know if that's, like, is that Kesar? Is that Kesar? I don't even know how to pronounce that. Oh, well, I'm just calling him Rob. That's fine. But I think for us, like, I mean, I've had the guild for, it's for a couple of, 6 days? It'll be, I've run this guild for 13 years, so it's like I've known the people. We're like a big family, you know what I mean? So it's not like we're shy about those things. And even those other people, like, you know, Matt Seven and his fiance, and then the, you know, his friend Robert, they're just all people that know each other. So we're not like, you know, online persona hiding, masking our lives from whatever, because we're just playing a game and just talking. It's not like I'm gonna find you by knowing your first name.
So that's impressive, by the way, making it 13 years as a guild leader. So I tip my hat to you. Well done. You run a tight ship.
I do. That's why everybody has pirate rankings.
Oh, yeah. In some ways, you were ready for Battle for Azeroth well before Battle for Azeroth.
I know. I've had that since. Well, no, I guess I had it in WoW because it was different in Guild Wars wasn't the same for rankings. It was just, I think you already had designated names. It was just like, you either remember officer, that was it. So, yeah, when we did WoW, I was like, pirate ranks for everyone, except for John, because he wants to be Optimus Prime, so okay.
So, nice. But I guess overall, like, as far as what you've seen, and I mean, if you've been sticking around kind of within the guild and not really out in the world, I mean, it might make sense. But do you feel like overall, like, the player base has gone down at all? Like, there's less activity in the game? Or, I mean, does it still seem like everything's just going along the way it was as always?
I think I still live in my little bubble of people. You know, we communicate amongst ourselves and do the things. We don't really venture out past that unless if we need to pug someone. But now that Flex is the new normal, it's not as bad. You know, we haven't really been needing to find anyone. Maybe sometimes, like, Van Wicked will pop in from time to time, our resident pug Canadian, that if he has time, he'll come in to play with us or whatever. But yeah, we don't really, like, go out to check, like, if there's a lot of people or not, because we usually just pull to play with, you know, amongst our group of people, because that's why we are a guild and we're a team. So, you know, we just do it that way. Mm-hmm. We all know most of the trade chats is all trolls anyways. So
yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say it has to be due to those the sub numbers or the time being, like, not being in such a rush to get it done. Because, like, I mean, I guess I can't say for Mythic because I hadn't done Mythic, but at least on Heroic, Kill Jaden was way harder than Argus.
What was Coven?
Coven's hard too, but after a while you could just skip Coven. So, like, I think. But
no,
I mean, Coven,
well, Coven.
I'm not advocating for skipping. I'm saying that it's simply something people can do. But I mean, even with Coven, Kill Jaden was a pain in the ass. That one I still think was the hardest between the two.
No. Yeah, I think if you look at by the time all is said and done, I think more guilds will have killed Mythic Argus than Mythic killed Jaden, just because they've had longer to do it. And I think that's one of those things, is that you haven't had that pressure that, oh, hey, like, this is only available for such a time. Like, yeah, you can go and kill Mythic, kill Jaden now, and it's not counting towards those statistics, and you're not getting your little, your mount and your title and whatnot. So, yeah, I think once, you know, this is something I'd want to revisit come, like, you know, July, the middle of July, whenever the patch goes live that they turn off ahead of the curve. That's when I'd like to see what exactly was the fallout here. Because even then, I think if a lot of people had left, I think the expectation is that right now is probably the low point for where we'll be subscription wise. And, you know, I guess maybe right now, the next month or two, I think if the expansion coming out in the middle of August, I think come like July 4th, that I feel like July 4th weekend is when people are going to be like, you know what, it's time for me to get back into WoW. That'll give me a good 6 weeks, or, you know, even 2 weeks before the expansion, or before the patch, the pre-patch leading into the expansion. And I think that's when really the ramp up starts for everybody coming back in, and we'll see everything kind of get crazy again. But yeah, it's so weird. It does not. And I think this is entirely on me, that I just feel like I've had a lot going on in my life that I've not had the same amount of time to play. I feel like if Legion had come out like 4 years ago, I'd probably be right there like, yeah, I'm ready for Battle for Azeroth. I've burned through. I got all my classes. Everybody's at 110. You know, I'm ready. And this is like the one expansion where it's like I could use the full year content drought and I'm not getting it. So thanks, Blizzard. Thanks for doing your jobs right.
Blizzard.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say for the Kill Jaden fight too, just like Eric just leveled his Warlock to max and he went to go in there and like people were still wiping in LFR. So it's just,
oh dude, it was ridiculous.
People just don't know to do the thing.
I was like, oh, you know what? I need to get some gear for this Warlock. So I was high enough to queue for Tomb of Sardaris LFR. So I was like, all right, I'll queue all four wings. Sure enough, it gives me Kill Jaden. So I go in there. I'm like, all right, well, first off, I was like, oh boy, how many stacks do we have when I log in? And I zone in and there's no stacks. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, let's try it. It was horrible. It was like absolutely horrible. Like this raid, I'm going to go on a rant, so I'm going to try and control it here. But this raid's been out forever. And you get in there and the tanks go in and they stand next to each other and they take fell claws together until they both die. And this is like the most obvious thing. Fell claws, you taunt and you take turns. One tank hangs off to the side or hangs back with the melee. The other tank takes it, and you make a swap. There was no swap. It took us getting to three stacks before they figured that out. And not even to mention the people that just couldn't stand in the pools that, you know, when the strike comes down and you have to stand, otherwise everybody gets hit. Basically, after that, I was waiting around, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to leave. So I gave up on it.
What character were you on?
Kicken, my warlock.
Oh, I was going to say, if you were on like your Death Knight, you should have just gone into your own tanking spec. And actually, even as your warlock, you should have just brought out your Void Lord and just been like, damn it, dude, fine, I'll do it myself.
If I was on Toretto, I probably would have just run in there like, you guys stand here, watch. This is how I'll do it by myself. No, but yeah, it was frustrating to see that. It was like, it wasn't even that. I guess it was like a complete lack of even caring to look up the fight before you get into it. And the fact that it's been out this long and they still had no idea.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, maybe you just lucked into a situation where you had two relatively new tanks and they were like, well, we don't want to do the current raid. Let's go do the old one. Yeah. And
That's possible, I suppose.
Yeah, because that's always brutal on LFR when you know, like, you can get away as a DPS that doesn't know what you're doing, just kind of follow the pack and just stay out of the fire.
Right.
But like, yeah, if you run into two tanks where neither knows what they're doing, but were they at least communicating like, hey, I'm new to this, I'm new to, maybe they might have been whispering each other, maybe you couldn't tell in the
one
LFR chat.
The one guy was like saying, oh yeah, I just made this character, herp a derp, and then the other guy was like, okay, just follow my lead kind of thing. And then he quit. And then they got another tank. And he quit. And then, yeah. And then we were standing around and I was like waiting in there with this group. And I think we were down to like, there was only two healers. So we needed, like, we had like 22 out of 25. So we needed three healers to come out of nowhere at 2 a.m. So I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to happen.
If my mom didn't make me clean till 3:30 in the morning, I would have come.
Yeah.
Parents just don't understand.
Yeah, no. That's right.
I think that was a song, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I believe it was.
Will Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no. This was back before he was Will Smith. This is back when he was the Fresh Prince.
Oh, my bad.
But yeah. So overall, I think we'll see more people come back to raiding in the future. But that said, let's start wrapping up here. So the last thing we have here is our look back 100 episodes ago. This is episode 106. 100 episodes ago is number 6. So that was we recorded that on February 24th, 2014. So just a little over 4 years ago. This was the one where we had Matt Bratton on the show. So what number, Matt, is he?
One.
He's the original.
Okay, he's OG Matt, because he was from Guild Wars.
Okay. So he was on the show. We talked about patch 5.4.7. We talked a lot about the boost to 90 costing $60, which now, I mean, does anybody, do we still feel if that's overpriced?
I mean, I think Har was saying, man, I don't want to pay $60 to boost that character or whatever, you know, because I think there's a shiny button somewhere to like goad you into doing things.
Well, what we didn't know back then is that they were going to give us a boost every expansion. So, I mean, yeah, admittedly, you have to boost the character, and that's one more character you have to level through the expansion. But yeah, I mean, so far I've boosted my Worgen, and then I boosted my Monk, and now I got a 110 boost that I don't know what I'm going to throw at yet. Maybe that Paladin. Who knows?
Yeah, so. Careful. You getting a taste of crack is free the first time around, but.
Well, no, I'll just wait another 2 years until the next expansion. I'll get my boost to 120 and we'll be good.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we talked a lot about the boost to 90. We talked a lot about professions being affected by the boost to 90. Like, that was a big deal. Especially because professions are in such a mess anyway. Every expansion, they're like, we're going to fix professions, and then they make it different, but nobody feels like it's been fixed. So we'll see what they do with professions going into Battle for Azeroth. But I don't think the boosting your professions at this point matters as much. We talked a little bit about the Garrison artwork, and there were some new character models that they were showing at the time, because that was all still fresh. I think we had a lot more hopes for how customizable the Garrison would be. And the new character models, they all look good. I mean, now we're so used to them being in the game, I think we forget how they used to look, but... they've been an improvement. We talked about bosses in Siege like Thok. We talked about death animations. we had a good conversation about that. And yeah, that's something that still, I still like, I still have that stupid flower in my bag from Mr. Pandaria, so that when I die, it looks like there's a flower sticking out of my butt. So that's always fun. And then we talked a little bit about PvP for Warlords, which I actually forgot to put in the show notes. They're changing a lot of PvP stuff. Like Ashran is going away. Just to be clear, like I'm talking about stuff, Ashran's going away in Battle for Azeroth now. This is new stuff. So I'm glad I've talked about the old stuff to remind me some new stuff I didn't mention. Ashran's going away. Strand of the Ancients is going away. So I'm very concerned about Ashran going away because I want to get that Warlords of Draenor title. Or the Warlord of Draenor title. And the only way to get that is to kill 500 pandas, kill 500 humans, kill 500 dwarves. And you have to do it in Ashran. You have to kill 500 of each member of the opposing faction race in Ashran, which I have not been doing. I think I got the Manslayer title. I think. And I got one of them. And I know the one that they said is impossible to get is the panda one, because there's just not 500 pandas PvPing in Ashran. And this was back when Ashran was current content. What would you say?
I think he was laughing.
Oh. I was just laughing at that, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, you have like 3 months to, if you don't have it like me and you want it like me, you have 3 months to, you know, kill as many things as you can in Ashran before that's over.
You could probably work on it. I'll bet there's a lot of people in the same predicament. So maybe it'll be a surge of popularity now.
I would hope. I don't know. I feel like there's got to be some forum somewhere where it's like everybody roll pandas, boost to 90, get in Ashran, and then just take turns killing each other.
Nick, are we just going to meet each other?
Yeah. I'll kill feed to. You with my pandering.
They'll just keep running in.
Yeah, actually, I have my panda boosted. We can do that. We can make this happen.
Oh, man.
So that's something to look at. And then Strand of the Ancients is going away, which I was never really big on. I don't really know that one. So, I mean, I guess people didn't really like it, but it still seems weird to be getting rid of stuff. So I guess it's good in the long term. I feel like this is something that they did in Heroes of the Storm. They like were like, oh, hey, we're taking away. I forget which map it was, but they got rid of one of the maps and they brought it back all new and fixed up. And I guess they're going to do the same thing now for Strand of the Ancients. So it'll be interesting to see where this comes from. I feel like Ashran was Hlinka's baby. And now that Hlinka is no longer on the WoW team, it's like the baby is abandoned.
Or maybe it just grew up and moved out. It's fine.
No, this is like Hlinka's dumpster baby.
Oh, God. Okay.
And it grew up and never moved out.
It never moved out. It just sits in its basement playing WoW all day.
Yeah.
And even it's like, I hate Ashran. So, all right. So on that note, I think we're at about an hour now, a little more. On that note, this has been WoW Talk number 106. You can email us at wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com or you can check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on iTunes and Apple Podcasts on iOS devices, Overcast for iOS, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Casts, SoundCloud, Podbean, and by RSS feed. Links are available for each platform right on the Mash Those Buttons website. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. Ray, where can people find you?
On Facebook, which is my name, and then the URL is Bishonin Omiko, which is my Twitter, and you can get me on Discord with the same name but with spaces between Bishonin No, and it's #4932.
And Eric, where can people find you?
Facebook and Discord. Ray, no, okay, is it just I'm so fucking terrible at this?
Toretto #7645.
Okay, that is that.
Yeah.
All right, Toretto 7645.
All right, and I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me on the MASHcast and on the Torn and the Goblin here on the Mash Those Buttons Network. We are at WowTalkMTB on Twitter, also at MTB Site on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/mashthosebuttons. Also on YouTube at youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. You can join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord at discord.me/mashthosebuttons. And you can go to mashthosebuttons.com/schedule for all your scheduling details. Our next live show is scheduled for May 13th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. You can come hang out in the chat room there. I know we got Harv and Idiot Salmon hanging out in there. So thank you guys for being there. Come hang out with them and see all the chatter going on that we can't talk about live. Thank you to Heat Kings for the intro song. Thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing. Thank you to YepX for the email about the forum post that we talked about and the Bounty Hunter stuff, because I am a big fan of the Bounty Hunter stuff. And thank you, everybody. Everybody, as I mentioned, Idiot Salmon and Harv, for hanging out in the chat room. Thank you for listening. For Ray and Eric, I'm Nick. Enjoy playing WoW.
See you guys.
See ya.